Welcome to Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. This week, I am joined in the studio by some participants who are going to be running around Tirana on Sunday for the 7th edition of the Tirana Marathon. I'm going to be finding out what exactly motivates them. I'm also conducting an interview with the new Swedish ambassador to Albania, Niklas Strom. And we have another interview, which I conducted earlier this week, with Germany's representative for the Western Balkans, Manuel Sarrazin. So, this week, Tirana hosted the Berlin Process Summit, and it saw a number of European leaders and regional leaders descend on the city for 1.5 days of meetings. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced a growth plan for the Western Balkans with a big cash injection. But aside from that, there were all the usual disagreements about EU enlargement and the Kosovo-Serbia situation. Now, it wouldn't be a diplomatic event in Tirana without a bit of a diplomatic meltdown. And this time it was the turn of France. So in a press conference with Prime Minister Edi Rama, the French President Emmanuel Macron said something along the lines of, if Kosovo doesn't behave itself a bit more and fall in line with EU requests to de-escalate in the north of the country, it could face its visa liberalisation being suspended. Now, the issue arose between what he said in French and how it was translated and then interpreted by the Albanian media. It was widely reported that Macron had made a unilateral decision to suspend the visa liberalisation process, which was not exactly true. I reached out to his office and got official confirmation from his spokesperson that he has not taken such a decision, and this is something that must be decided by EU partners. Check the clip for more information.
Guten Morgen, Macron. Ich habe versucht, liberalisiert Visa per Kosovo und po apoio.
Okay. A, pyte, a i ka pezulluar vizat pa, për Kosovën, pa, pa. Po se jo, pa. Kjo ishte pyetja që ju i keni drejtuar.
Pa.
E mund ta lexojmë në anglisht, Elis, mund ta bëj dhe unë. Can you clarify, pra mund ta sqaroni nëse presidenti i Francës ka thënë se do të pezulloj liberalizimin e vizave?
Yes, unë.
Apo jo, për, yes. Për Kosovën. Kjo ka qënë pyetja. Po?
Dhe shkruaj në WhatsApp mesaj, jo nuk është vërtet.
Jo, nuk është e vërtet.
Po, vendimi nuk merret, the decision is not taken. Varet nga autoritetet e Kosovës.
Po.
And she means here the direction of this situation is in the hands of Kosovo.
Pra, se si do të vijojë kjo situatë është në duart e autoriteteve të Kosovës.
Pastaj kam një clarification tjetër.
Bërë një sjarje të dytë.
Po, po. The president spoke about the tensions between Serbia and Kosovo.
Pra, presidenti foli për tensionet midis Serbisë dhe Kosovës.
He said what France's requirements were. Për shembull, deeskalim, zgjidhjet tjetër në...
Zgjidhjet në veriun e Kosovës.
Nuk e di tjetër, për...
Pra, presidenti sqarimi është, pra presidenti ka sqaruar se cilat janë kërkesat e Francës për Kosovën.
Jo vetëm Francë, për gjithë bashkë European, they have their demands for Kosovo to deescalate. Remove the police for the elections.
Kërkesa që ka bashkimi Europian për Kosovën, dhe eskalim të situatës, gjithet në verit Kosovës, si që është premtuar pra nga.
This is what they mean there.
Po, dhe...
In this context...
Në këtë kontekst...
And taking into account the blockage in Pristina,
pra,
do me thënë, dialog nuk e vizë...
Dhe duke patur parasysh blokimin në Prishtinë, të kësaj situatë,
The president considered the question of visa liberalization remains open.
Okay, dhe presidenti konsideron që çështja e liberalizimit të vizave mbetet e hapur.
E hapur.
While at the summit, I also managed to get a few minutes with the German representative for the Western Balkans, Manuel Sarrazin, to talk about EU enlargement and, of course, Kosovo-Serbia. Thank you for making the time for this interview. I'm going to try and cover as many topics as I can in the short period of time. First of all, I want to talk about Edi Rama, Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama's recent suggestion that the Kosovo-Serbia dialogue be sort of upgraded to more of a conference. And he suggested in an interview with me that that could involve bringing all the big shots, as he called it, to the table, not just the EU and the US. In your role and from the position of the German government, what are your thoughts on this proposal?
So we as German government, we are determined to support the EU-facilitated dialogue. We strongly support the work of Miroslav Lajcak on behalf of the European Union and of the High Representative, Josep Borrell. And I think in the moment, there's no option than sticking to the dialogue and trying to get implementation of the OHRID agreement on the track and on the road. And we urge on both sides to engage positively and constructively in this process.
But do you not think we've maybe reached a point at the moment that appears to be a bit of a dead end after what happened on the 24th of September? Do you think maybe there's a need for a certain push now?
I think that both sides are quite clear that they, at least in wording, stand to the agreement which has been reached in OHRID. And I think it's very important to try to get implementation on the track and to get the positive track record step by step to get this working. I don't believe that inventing something new after we have a good agreement made in OHRID is now sensible to be on the table.
But does that include also the Association of Serb Municipalities? Again, considering what happened, and if it does turn out there's been sort of input or knowledge of Belgrade, etc., does this not maybe change some of the things that have been agreed on before? And doesn't it put them in a different light?
Well, I mean, you know that in the OHRID agreement, the ASMM is one of the topics which is important. Mm-hmm. And the sides until now couldn't agree on a clear implementation roadmap. So I think this is the step.
Yes.
To agree on, and of course on this implementation roadmap, also the ASMM has to have the right moment in time, which is agreed. And exactly this is what we want now the sides to agree on, how to get with which steps that on track. And I think that it's also known that there will be an initiative coming on that, and we should support this initiative at the first end.
I wanted to ask you as well, there are measures currently against Kosovo, and there is a draft, I understand, for potential measures against Serbia as well. Do you think measures are the way forward for both countries, or should we be looking at incentivizing them instead?
Measures are never a way forward, but sometimes if we ask for something very clear, like we did to Kosovo, and now like the European Union is doing to Serbia, it must be also clear that not following us can also have consequences. So, of course, we are in a bit of pity because we want to get forward with the region. We don't want to put measures because there's not enough progress. But, of course, also European Union has to be consequent in their policies and then also the expectations.
Now, moving on to enlargement, there has been a proposal from France and Germany that sort of encompasses reform and a new approach towards enlargement through different groups, etc. You've presented this. What's the feedback been? Do you see it gaining traction? Is it something that we could be looking at following in the future?
Well, I think the debate on gradual integration with the Growth Pact and this opening of specific parts of the acquis is in full swing. I cannot say what will be really the result on European level there. But I strongly believe, and this is also the conviction of my government, full-fledged membership on same eye level as everybody should be in the end the result. We don't want Western Balkans to be in a second-class membership. In the end, we want the Western Balkans being the same, also on the paper regarding the European citizenship as us. We're already part of the European family, and I think it doesn't make sense to say like, okay, you're just a second group or something. We can be more flexible on the way to get there, how to have also perhaps the possibility of beneficiaries in beforehand, but we will not make a debate on the standards of respect and the standards of EU values.
Do you think the next batch of enlargement is possible by 2030, including Kosovo?
Possible is everything, but it depends on the reform track which is done.
Yes.
And to reach such a date, I don't say this date, but such a date, everybody has to start yesterday with delivering on the ground. And sometimes I compare what's delivered on the ground to the expectations, and then I see a mismatch. And I think this should be made more public in the region that it's not about talking about dates, it's about delivering reforms on the ground. ACQUIS has 150,000 pages. 10 years ago, it was perhaps 90,000. EU is still going forward. And I mean, the region has to cope with it. And some countries don't have a government in the moment. Some have difficulties in delivering reforms. We want everybody to deliver even more, and the European Union to deliver also their promises to those who delivered reforms on the ground, which is, of course, the second part of the problem.
Now, by the end of the year, we are expecting to see that accession negotiations could be opened with Moldova and Ukraine, which is a good thing if it happens. But this is something Albania, North Macedonia waited over a decade for. Do you foresee any situation where they could potentially be leapfrogging the Western Balkan countries with their EU path?
Well, this is out of my business to forecast. I think that actually in 2021, I was sitting as Mr. President Zelensky's office, and he was talking about the situation of North Macedonia as a threat for Ukraine. So we were talking about it. And I said, like, clearly, listen, Mr. President, whatever is good for the Western Balkans will be good in Ukraine because it's bringing back the face, and the believing in EU accession is a tool which is necessary. Same is now other way around. Everything that's good for Ukraine and Moldova will be also good on the Western Balkans. This is a win-win situation for both. And I know that sometimes it's difficult to be seen like this in the region because of emotional issues and also waiting very long, like you mentioned. But I'm still convinced this is a win-win situation, and both should be seen together in the sense of geopolitical argument and delivering reforms on the ground.
So when we look at Albania, you know, we're very pro-EU, things are moving, albeit slowly. Serbia is stalled, if I may be blunt. Montenegro, I have no idea what's happening there. Kosovo applied at the end of last year. What more can member states, what more can regional states do to get this doing? And how can Germany sort of give a bit of an extra push? You know, we've talked about the EU side, but let's talk about the candidate country side as well.
So the enlargement reports will be published soon by the European Commission, and they will again lay out the broad variety of reforms which are needed, I think, especially regarding democracy, rule of law, pluralism. It's one important topic which is sometimes underestimated. It's not without reason that the European Union put this at the heart and at the beginning of the process. But also I think this idea of coming together as a six towards the European Union, with a common regional market, creating more common agendas between the six on the path to Europe, on European standard, this is at the core of Berlin process to be helpful for the EU integration. And I think we should try to unleash this with a good starting point today with the summit in Tirana, unleash this potential even more.
Okay, one last question for you, not so serious. What do you think of Albania and Tirana? This is not your first time here. What are your impressions?
It's always great to be in Albania, but I think you should also leave Tirana and go to the even more beautiful parts of the country. I think this was a record season in tourism, and not without reason. And this will bring a lot of positive feedback. Everybody I meet is talking, this is such a gorgeous country, which is valid for the whole region. And usually I say, Albania is one of my favorite six countries in Europe, because I'm on behalf of every six. Today it's my favorite because we're here. It's a lovely place, and it's great that it's taking place in Tirana, and everybody's feeling so well. I started today in Germany with 4 degrees. Now I'm standing with you in the sun.
Sweating. Getting sunburned.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So I was scrolling through Instagram the other day on my lunch break, and I came across a post which piqued my interest. And it was from Sweden's new ambassador to Albania, Niklas Strom. Did I say it correctly?
Yes, that was correct.
That was better? Okay, great. I have been practicing. And the post was of public transport, actually a bus in Tirana, and the ambassador saying that he was taking the bus to go to work. And I'm used to seeing ambassadors move around Tirana in sort of carcades and big fancy cars with flashing lights. So it was very refreshing for me to see a more down-to-earth approach to mobility. And I wanted to invite the ambassador to the studio to discuss mobility, but also his general impressions of Albania. Welcome to Inside Albania.
Thank you, Alice. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Now, let's start with the social media post. So do you really take the bus to work?
I do sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
And my intention with that post was actually not to show that I'm going by bus. That's one thing that surprised me a little bit that it was interesting also for my followers. Of course, I put it out because it was interesting that it was an empty bus and it was 7:30 in the morning. I thought that was not so common. It's not common in Sweden. And as I have understood also from the comments I received after that post, it's not common here either.
I think it you know, sometimes they're really overpacked and sometimes they are a bit more empty. But I would imagine that at that time there was there traffic on the roads elsewhere?
Yes.
So.
But it was relatively early.
So people like to take their cars more than... Now, I use the bus. I use the bus or I walk. I use it very frequently, which, again, I think is something a bit unusual. Maybe people were quite surprised when I sort of get on the bus. But you mentioned when we spoke offline as well that you had some other ways of getting around which were maybe a bit interesting.
Yes, I mean, I like public transport, that's definitely, and in Sweden I use them all the time. I take the tram and then the subway when I go to work normally. But if I have the time, my preferred option to transport myself is by foot. It's a nice I like it, so but it takes more time and sometimes it's not a good the route you're going is maybe not the best for walking. So my second is taking the bicycle, and then it's public transport.
Have you moved with the bicycle in Tirana so far?
Not yet.
No,
actually I haven't. I have my bike here. I haven't used it yet. Also because I'm learning a lot of things about Albania right now. I have to learn also the traffic, how you behave in traffic.
How you behave in traffic.
And how you don't behave and how you, the roads to choose the right roads.
As someone who's cycled in Tirana quite a lot and walks in Tirana quite a lot, I'd say the general rule is pray. If that's your thing, and sort of hope for the best, it can be quite hairy. But it is getting better. We have cycle lanes throughout much of the city now, which make things a lot easier. The buses are more on time as well. And I find it quite easy to get around. But when I travel to places like Brussels, and I see, you know, they have trams and underground ride-sharing companies, scooters. Okay, I don't particularly like the electric scooters so much because I've nearly been run over.
That can be dangerous.
This is quite a problem. But walking definitely is my preferred, especially a place like Tirana. You know, it's interesting, it's beautiful, it's quite flat.
And it's a nice way, especially when you're new in a town, to walk. Even with the bicycle, but walk, you see things, you hear things, you discover the neighborhood that you work or live in.
So yes,
I really see that.
It's quite funny. When I do get a taxi and I sort of explain to the driver, no, don't go that way, go this road, it's quicker. And he's like, but you're foreign, how do you know? I was like, because normally I walk everywhere and you do learn, you know, all the secret places and things. So I wish you good luck exploring Tirana on foot and on your bicycle, but don't forget your helmet.
When I walk?
When you walk, maybe a bit extreme unless there's construction work, but on the bicycle, definitely.
Of course.
Moving on from this, I wanted to ask you, how did you end up here? Obviously, you're the ambassador, but where were you posted before? And what was your reaction when they said you're off to Tirana? And what do you think of it now?
Yes. Well, I was in Stockholm before. Actually, 9 years. I worked at the foreign ministry, heading the minister's office that we have in the foreign ministry. And when I got to know that I had been chosen to this position, I was happy. I immediately started to talk to people who had been here and who had visited or worked here. I got a very positive but general image of Albania. It's a country that has developed a lot the last years. I had an experience from Albania, but only from minister to minister contacts that we have had quite a lot from the foreign minister and with the Albanian government. They were very positive as well, really good relations. But it was kind of a superficial image that I had. I've also heard a lot from friends and others. Actually, a lot of Swedes travel to Albania right now as tourists. And at least all I have talked to, they come home with a fantastic experience. So that, of course, made it even more interesting to go here. And I also knew about the very determined, how determined the political, the politicians are here, and the government, and as I understand it, also the people, are to get into the EU and to try to reform as much as possible to be able to do that. So that I knew, and then I came here.
And you touched down in Tirana for the first time. Yeah. What did you think?
Well, first, I thought it's more or less what I've been told. And it was actually the first. I was here in July, but August I started, and that was before I had not been here before. It's a very welcoming country. I've heard about the traffic, I've been told, was terrible. I would say not too bad. I mean, if you compare, I've been to other places in the world where the traffic is really horrible. People are friendly, but not too pushy. Mm-hmm. That's something I appreciate a lot. And the food was, as I'd also been told, or is, the food is good, high quality, also in cheaper restaurants. And of course, the Albanian traditional food I had not tasted before. The Italian, Greek, those things, but that's also a new discovery for me, the traditional food.
And have you, I mean, you've only been here a short time. You said July was the first time you came here. Have you had chance to travel around either sort of personally or in your work to other parts of Albania? And if so...
A little bit. I have my objective is to see all parts of Albania during my work here, both as an ambassador, but also as a private person. I want to see all parts. I have traveled a few times, but it's been a busy first month here. I've been to the sea. I've been to Linn in Okra Lake, and I've also been in Gramsch to visit a project that we have there. The Swedish Embassy has there to help farmers. Yes,
I recommend Shkodra.
Yes,
and Leja, Shenjin, these sorts of areas here. I mean, you have everything. You have beautiful coastline, mountains, history, food. People are extra friendly there. Maybe I'm slightly biased as it's my favorite region.
I will go there, and I will go to the places where people don't recommend me necessarily as a tourist to go, because I want to learn. I want to see the poor parts of Albania as well, and where the roads are not the best. But definitely the coast and the south and Shkodra are on my list, definitely.
And Valbona, that's Tropoia as well. This you can see, I mean, there's the touristic side of things, but you can also see how people live in a very off-grid sort of way there as well. Because, I mean, in the winter, it's essentially cut off from the rest of the country. This is somewhere that I recommend as well. Now, your predecessor, Elsa, was also a guest on the show. I think it was the second episode I ever did. Did you two speak before you came here? Did she give you any tips, advice, or sort of watch out for this?
No, of course. I was here to visit her and to learn about the embassy that I'm heading now. Elsa's fantastic diplomat, fantastic colleague. She I think tried to hand over as much as possible of the knowledge she has of Albania. Concrete tips, I think some, but they are kind of evident, that reach out to people, try to get to know people, see all parts of the country. Also make sure that the embassy is active in the whole of the country, and that's entirely in line with what I want to do. We're not just a Tirana-based embassy, and we have projects already, so we'll continue with that, and visits outside, that's important. And then, of course, Elsa is a fantastic ambassador, but I'm another ambassador, hopefully fantastic as well, but in another way. And we are all, you have to develop your position
according
to your personality.
As well.
So
I guess that leads into my next question. I'm not comparing at all, but just transitioning. Like, Elsa was very much into sustainability, and she posted a lot about like local fashion and things and food. I know she had a garden at the embassy where she was growing. What are your What are you going to be known for at the end of your mandate? How are people going to remember you? What's your vision?
First of all, sustainability will be continued, definitely. And the garden is there at the residence, and it will. I will continue with that. I think that's a really nice project that she started. And it's actually also the food that people, the guests in the residence receive. Or, I mean, we cannot produce food, all the food that is needed, but it's there. Sustainability is an important priority, political priority also for Sweden, and both in our general policy, but in particular in the development cooperation that we have in Albania and in other countries. So, and it's also an area where our Swedish companies are very competitive in technology, in processes that have to do with improved energy efficiency or renewable energy or things like that. So that's definitely a kind of a cross-cutting theme into almost everything we do. And I will not change the big direction of what we do here. I think we are doing a very good job. If I can leave something behind that, even more than what we're doing today, it would be on the economic relations. I mean, we have excellent political relations. We have people-to-people relations. We are like-minded with Albania in many country, in many questions. And we work a lot with them to partner into the EU integration. But our companies are not dealing with each other.
Yes.
And, some are. There are a few.
I'd heard that the amount of trade between the two countries is quite low at the moment.
It's very low, and I think it's one of the few countries that Sweden has a trade deficit with. But it's also a country where there are not so many Swedish companies who have invested, which is also not so common. So, and I think there are opportunities here. I think there are opportunities in both directions, exports from Albania to Sweden. And I think there is a potential for investments here from Swedish companies. But I'm new. I still have a superficial analysis of Albania and the economy. So we need to do our homework to see if it's something where we should encourage more Swedish companies to come here.
And but tourism anyway, as well.
Sorry?
We mentioned tourism as well.
Tourism is flourishing. I mean, in general, in Albania, and Swedish tourists are also coming here in greater numbers. And we have one direct line to Stockholm we have one direct line from Tirana.
Great.
We have one to Malmö. And there will be another direct line. Ryanair is starting up a direct line to Stockholm. Great. From Tirana. So that's that would probably improve the possibility to be a tourist in both directions. We, of course, welcome Albanians to be tourists in Sweden as well.
Now, my last question for you, we mentioned before the show about the Albanian language, and you let slip that you had just come from your Albanian language lesson.
Yes.
So I want to ask you how your lessons are going, how you find it as a language to learn, you know, how you finding it difficult? Do you see it to be a big challenge?
Yes, if I'm to learn more about Albania, I need to also be able to read at least. I need also to have at least basic conversations with people in Albania who don't speak English or Swedish. But I started now. I don't have the privilege to do this language course before I come to a country as an ambassador, like some countries do. But still, I've had my second lesson. It's very basic so far. We have learned the letters and
all 36
and,
of them.
Yeah, and
it's
the pronouns and things. I find it. It's the grammar is a bit difficult. Mm. And but the pronunciation is we have the same sounds in Swedish as they have here. It's not as, even though they're sometimes spelt in a way which looks a bit difficult for me, like with X and Z and Q. I mean, the pronunciation is, we have it in Swedish. So I just have to learn code, decode
the... Because the difficulty for me has been, you know, I try and say a word and I think I said it correctly and they're like, no. I'm like, we don't have that sound in English. My mouth cannot make that shape, you know? So you have a slight advantage there.
Yeah, maybe there, but then the grammar, I think, I don't know if I will learn it. I hope people will be able to understand if I say something with the wrong grammar.
I think they are, you know, I speak quite well. It depends on the topic. My grammar is not good. But like you said, it's very, very difficult. But my general perception is Albanians really like it when people try. They don't care if you make mistakes. They're just happy to hear people speaking their language. So bear that in mind when you're speaking it, and you'll be fine.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time. And maybe the next time we do an interview, we can do a bit in Albanian.
We can probably greet each other, and maybe you can ask me questions, yeah?
Okay,
yeah,
deal.
We'll see, deal.
Thank you very much, and I wish you all the best with your time here.
Thank you.
Thanks. On Sunday, the whole of Tirana will come to a complete standstill, much to the delight of road users, because Tirana is holding the 7th marathon. And it will consist of not just a full marathon, which is 42 kilometres, but a half marathon of 21 kilometres, a 10K race and a 5K fun run as well. There will be several thousand participants coming from all over Albania, the region and even further afield. Now, this is my 4th or 5th, I'm not quite sure, I was trying to figure it out, but this is going to be my second half marathon. I was somebody who, when at school, could not run to save my life and used to fake letters to my teacher to get out of taking part in running. It's true, and my mum said, you know, I knew very well that you used to forge my signature. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so I could never, ever run. And then I had some problems with my health and the doctor said, you need to move. So I started walking, but I found it boring, and gradually I started running, and now this is going to be my 3rd half marathon. And during those years since I started running 3 years ago, I lost 50 kilos as well. So I just wanted to say that because I'm quite proud of that.
I'm very excited
to take part in the event on Sunday because it's always an amazing experience to run with a big group of people. And we are running, I am running this year as a part of a team with Down Syndrome Albania. And we are running to raise money for a very valuable cause. And today we're going to talk a bit about the cause, the marathon, running in general. And I'm joined in the studio today by Rezata Chaushai, who's a journalist, an analyst, a researcher, an all-round genius in very many things.
She's my friend, so...
She's also a good friend of mine, so I have to disclose that as well. And by Edleva, who is a student and is taking part in the 10K race. And we are joined online by Arnie Demilia in the UK, who is more British than me, we've established. And he's coming all the way from the UK to Albania to take part in the race. So good afternoon to everybody and welcome to Inside Albania.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Good afternoon.
So I want to start with Arnie. Now, Arnie, you've been living in the UK for 25 years, which is longer than I ever lived there for. Yeah. So this is great. You have a business there. You have a family there. You have children in the UK. Why the UK? I mean, I never liked the country, hence why I'm in Albania. But what's life like in the UK, especially in the context, you know, last year we discussed between ourselves as well. There were issues with migration into the UK. There was some horrible rhetoric in the media about Albanians. What's life like in the UK for you?
Alice, thank you for inviting me to your program. And hello, everyone over there. UK, a lot of people are a lot of British, probably they do think then outside the UK things are better. It possibly could be for somebody else, but for me as a business owner, I found myself with the great people around surrounding me, and I started growing myself from just an individual person to become an adult and to be successful in business, what I do right now.
It's great to hear. I mean, but do you miss anything from Albania at all? Or do you fully sort of integrated into the UK now?
I would say I'm more English than Albanian. I miss sunshine.
You know, people ask me, what do you miss from England? And I'm like, oh, Indian food or like decent Thai food. And they're like, that's not English. And I'm like, this is why I left. The food is terrible. So you are taking part tomorrow on Sunday in the half marathon, if that's correct. And you are running again to support money for Down Syndrome Albania. You just said, you know, you feel more British in a way than Albanian. So what is it that encourages you to come back to Albania, take part in a race and raise money for a local charity?
Right. Firstly, I'm going to surprise you guys. I'm going to do a 42.2-kilometer run, full marathon. And secondly, I do get involved in quite a lot of charities. Since the lockdown, I think it was an eye-opener for most of many people, including myself. I kind of feel like obliged for doing something for my own people. That's where I put all my effort to raise the funds to my customers and friends for the Albanian, mainly for the Albanian. And I could actually proudly say today I've raised 4,130 euros for Down Syndrome Albania.
Well done. Well done. That's fantastic. And I love hearing that you are doing these activities, these fundraising activities in the UK as well as Albania. But why Down Syndrome Albania? Why did you decide to get involved with fundraising for this organisation?
To me, any charity in Albania is the same. It doesn't really matter who is for. It's for my own people, for my own DNA. So these people I'm helping, I'm sharing the DNA up. I'd be more than welcome to help even other charities in Albania, which I think it was Emma and Danielle, who I was friends with them, and they introduced me and they asked me for help. And the first year, I was a donor to Down Syndrome Albania. Second year, last year, I ran half a marathon for the Down Syndrome Albania. And this year, I'm going to do the full marathon.
Rosata, my long-term friend, this is the first race that you've ever run, I believe.
Sure.
Yes. Now, you said off air you were signed up to do the 5K, but you might consider doing the 10K. Can we get you to do the 10K on Sunday, please?
So obviously the main reason why I wanted to join first is to support Down Syndrome Albania campaign to collect funds and to cover therapies for children with disabilities, especially because I am parent to a child, 6-year-old boy, who's on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of the direct beneficiaries of this campaign, and I'm very grateful to be part of it, to contribute, and to also directly thank the people who's had these ideas and who have been working for this idea. So a couple of months back, my plan, especially being fresh of maternity, was to just join the 10K. And I thought it was a good moment to start moving. You know, I was very optimistic. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I have time. I will train.
Plenty of time. I can do it.
I have 2 months. I will do it, you know.
And you didn't.
Wrong. It was completely unrealistic, especially because I have a 1-year-old who I had to start in nursery, and then I started a new job, and then I took a couple of engagements, which I do the whole time, which is why I'm not the most athletic person you will meet. But I still want to do it.
Yes.
And I still think I will do the 10K, but I will not be the most athletic person. I'll probably be the turtle.
Don't worry, because the first 10K I ever did, I was hungover, 1.5 months pregnant, I didn't know, and had not trained. And I did it. I finished. I couldn't walk for about a week afterwards. It was difficult. But the achievement of being able of finishing, limping, crawling over the finish line was just
But it is a learning experience. So the next year, I really want to, truly, I want to do it. So now I have time and I have the experience to really prepare for it. So I'll go for it next year, people.
That's on the record. You're going to do the 10K on Sunday. Yeah. Okay, great.
And now I have to do it. Everyone will shame if I don't.
Can you tell us a bit more about the work that DSA do? the sort of services they provide to Albanian children?
Yeah, basically, Down Syndrome Albania is doing this campaign because there are no funds from the government, but also from other sources like projects. Mm-hmm. They offer no money to cover therapeutic yeah. costs, which is harrowing for parents who cannot afford such therapies yes. because they are expensive and because there are 100 other problems that mm-hmm. most people maybe who are not in the community probably are not aware of. So they are really helpful. They have 42 children and only 5 of them cover the cost themselves. The yeah. other are helped
yeah.
either fully or partially. They offer therapies like logopedia, development therapy, helping with developing children's skills. Such.
And it's not just, so the name is Down Syndrome Albania, but it's not just Down Syndrome.
No,
it covers learning
children with the
neurological conditions.
Yeah, as I said, children with all the autism spectrum, Down syndrome, other developmental disorders. It's a whole range of
yes.
some sort of disability mm-hmm. That they cover. And they are one of the few centers that offer coverage for the therapies. And that's why this campaign is really, really important.
Yes.
And I can tell this as one of the beneficiaries, it would be impossible for me to cover the cost because I lived outside of Tirana, so I have to come here every day. Mm-hmm. I have to think very well of every working opportunity that it's yes. offered to me. So I've lost countless opportunities, me and my husband. Every day has to be planned to cater to your child's needs because early intervention in children is very important.
Yes. Edleva, so yeah. tell me a bit about, you told me off air that you used to be a professional basketball player. How did you start running? What are you running on Sunday and what's your goal?
So yeah, I used to be a professional basketball player years back. So I've been having a pause of it. And during this pause, you know, I really missed it being back to the track, running, training. So joining the marathon is a personal reason as well, because I want to, you know, get back on myself. Mm-hmm. It's a new experience. I'm challenging myself. I'm not trying to win this time, but I want to leave a good performance at least. So, and I'm running 10K. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm running 10K, you know, because of the long pause I have and because I'm joining with my friends. Because the whole purpose of this campaign is to get, you know, awareness for the Down Syndrome Albania. So joining with friends, just, you know, bigger support, bigger, like, foundation and donates money to the Down Syndrome Albania. And it's in a professional way as well. So my business, Studying UK, is contributing as well in this foundation. And that helps to reach to my clients, to my friendships, and to reach more people.
And what time would you like to finish the 10K in on Sunday?
She's
going to put me to shame.
Less than an hour, but yeah. That said, I'm trying to do this with my friends, and my friends are not as athletic as I used to be. So we want to just, you know, have a good time
yes.
enjoying it and, you know,
contribute good cause as well.
So the main reason is to contribute to support Down Syndrome Albania.
And I wanted to ask as well about your training. So aside from basketball, do you run in Tirana? Do you run around the lake park, the city? I'm asking because I run from my house to the lake, around the lake, back again, like in the streets, you sure. know, when my boyfriend said to me, please don't run in our neighbourhood because everyone thinks you're crazy, you know,
that's
this
true.
Big, tall English girl running around in shorts and a crop top, you know, they talk about you. They're like, where's she going? Why is she running? Who's she running away from?
That's true, unfortunately. So we Albanian, we don't have this culture of people running, doing physical activities, you know, it's not in their culture. Mm. So when you see this, you're like, shameful, like what she's doing like that. So usually I run inside doors, like mm-hmm. I do train a lot in basketball. So I enjoy training, running while I'm doing the sport as well. Outside of the doors, it's a bit tough. And we don't have the right place as well. We don't have like
yeah.
running tracks out in the parks or whatever. We miss this type of things as well.
So I'm lucky I live next to the park. So yeah. we have the new running track there. So if I don't want people to think, yeah. you know,
yeah, I have the same challenge though. I live in the outskirts of Durrës, and I have the same problem.
You know, you can't run on the roads there?
They are car roads, basically, just outside our home. And you have no space, not even for people to walk, let alone to run. So you have to watch your back all the time. It's a bit discouraging, to be honest. Yeah. I always ask myself, would it be more motivating for me if there was the space?
But can we normalize women running in public?
Sure.
We are three women.
I mean, I've done this before.
I've been spat at by an elderly woman in the Lake Park once who told me to cover up in August when I was running, which was just terrible. Can we normalize women running in public and wearing appropriate clothing for doing so?
Do you know what I think? By my own experience, like years back when I started playing basketball, I was just a teenager, you know? And then I was wearing shorts and going to the neighbor and the people was like, why is she wearing shorts? Why is she in the sport course instead of being like an English horse or doing something else like benefits in the future?
Sewing, cooking.
So years back, when I'm back from England, I'm back here in Albania and I just look at the neighborhood, I see half of the kids there playing basketball because a new training center opened near to our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So all these women who told me to cover up, not to start doing basketball play or whatever, they send their children to this center training center. So I'm like, they will get better with the time.
Do you have a couple of small tips for people who are watching this who might be thinking, oh, maybe I should take up running, or who are thinking these people are crazy, but are maybe a bit interested in trying it?
So if you start walking and then you start jogging slowly, slowly, and then eventually your lung is like a balloon. The more you blow in the balloon, the bigger the balloon gets. That's how your lungs will become. So just start slowly. Starting is very important. You start too fast, you burn yourself out. Start slowly and then let your body, you work, your mind and your body work together.
Rosata, I have another question for you. How much money have we raised so far for DSA and what is our target? Or the other way around, depending on the answer.
Yeah, so the target is 30,000 euros and we are very close, a little over 29,000. Mm-hmm. As of now, we hope to reach the target and everybody's is very welcome to contribute. You can reach us very easily through socials. You can search Down Syndrome Albania, you can search Rosata Taousha, you can search Marathon Omak, and you can reach our GoFundMe account, and you can donate and you can join in this cause should you feel enough committed. And it's a good cause, I think.
Yep. Can I say something?
Yes, please
girls. In UK, in here, like I'm a hairdresser and then I've been raising all this money in my shop with my clients and with my friends. So 98% of my customers, of my friends, have been asking, they've been donating. In Albania, if you look around, everyone is drinking a coffee.
True.
How much is one coffee? So 1 euro? If I'm wrong?
In block, wrong. Maybe, between 50 cents and a euro.
If all of us at DS will put a euro on donation, we will make the 30,000 euros our target.
Last question for you. So we've asked people, you know, to donate if they're able to. Do you have another message for people who maybe are going to complain about Tirana being closed on Sunday because of the race? And also what people can do to encourage runners on the day?
I think support is very important, donate is very important. So the reason why we've joined us is just to bring our awareness to this foundation. Mm-hmm. So I think we're doing our best. And people being mad that Tirana is going to be closed on Saturday, okay, good, be mad and come join to us by running. That madness will keep
you
going.
Cheer us on.
Finish you the 10K. You know? So even the small contribution helps a lot. If you're not unable to do so, bringing awareness, spreading the word to other people helps a lot as well. So just do so.
Come and cheer us on or sign up to take part.
I mean, we understand people, it's just one day and it's for a good cause.
And less pollution as well. Okay, everybody, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday, Arnie. Have a safe trip to Albania and good luck.
Yep.
Good luck.
Good luck to us.
That's all for this week. Wish me luck for the race tomorrow, and we will be back next Saturday on Euronews Albania at 5 o'clock. You can also follow on YouTube and across all major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Mirupafshin.